Blog Talk Radio.
I'm on the road again. Another football Friday. I'm on the road again. And here I am, Mud Toe Sasquatch, and my program is Mud Toe at Midnight. Thank you for joining me tonight. Speaking to you live from somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Actually, I know where somewhere is. I am somewhere between my Friday night football game and my apartment, and once more I have not made it home in time. So I have pulled off the interstate into a lonely parking lot. Thank goodness I didn't have to do the show from a rest area. I've done that before. It's pretty scary. But it is tonight I am in a well-lighted parking lot near a, I'll say the brand name, why not? It's I don't know. I was going to say, is it a Super America? I can't quite tell from there. It's one of these, you know, interstate, all-night gas station, restaurant, gift store kind of place off the interstate. And I feel fortunate to have found it and that I can do my show for you in relative safety. I might even grab a bite to eat. Who knows? I mean, after the show, not before. But... or during, actually, I was coming up the interstate, and the last exit before the one I finally got off on, I saw that there was a Subway. I thought, okay, that's good. I can pull off, and I can get, because I'm a little hungry. I didn't have a proper dinner. I can get the sandwich and a drink, and I can go to the car and have a little bit to eat and then do the show. And I can feel, you know, I don't have to feel guilty. I'll have a clear conscience, you know, using their parking lot because I bought something from them. So I make the turn off the interstate and I go to, you know, the ramp goes down to, you know, to like the bottom the way it does, you know, because it's going to go under the overpass. And it's really, really dark. There aren't any lights down there. And I'm thinking, you know, mud toe trek into darkness. You know, where am I going here? And so I have to make a turn and they have to make another turn. And there's signs, you know, telling me the Subway is there. And I finally make it there, and it's closed. And I'm like, God damn it. How can you advertise your restaurant on the interstate? You know, not advertise, but I mean those signs they put on the interstate, you know, that you come up to or you're coming up to an exit that tells you, you know, what gas stations are there and what restaurants are there. At least they have those in my state. I think they have those in most states now. But anyway, you know, how do you let them put that up there when, you know, it's not even that late. It's 11:30 at night and they're closed. I mean, and then this same exit that I'm sitting at now, the Super America is open, but the other, I mean, there's a McDonald's across the street that's closed. There's a Taco Bell that's closed. I mean, how slow must things be in our country if restaurants can't stay open until midnight? You know, restaurants on an interstate can't stay open until midnight. But maybe the Super America is just too much competition for them. I don't know. Thanks for tuning in. Those, if it's your first time, those are the kind of rants that you get to hear, especially early in the show, when I've had to pull my car off the road so I can, because I can't get home in time to do the show from there. Let me just take a moment to tell you about the other shows that are on Blog Talk Radio, the With Insights channel of blogtalkradio.com. Mondays, you can listen to Iggy and Rosa do intuitive readings. That's Mondays at 6. On Tuesdays at 7, you've got Jenny Seek and the Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. On Wednesdays at either 2 or 3, I still don't know which, it's Heather Tapia and the Entrepreneurial Excellence Show. And then Fridays at midnight, it's me, Mud Toe Sasquatch, on Mud Toe at Midnight. And thanks once again for joining me tonight. Regular listeners know that I film high school football games on Friday nights. It's one of my 5 part-time jobs. And I don't always get back home in time to do the show if the game I'm filming is an appreciable distance away. So anyway, that's what that's all about. And tonight, you know, I decided I wasn't going to be in a hurry. Last week I was pretty fortunate to get out of the game fairly quickly, but then I ran into difficulty that I discussed on the show. Well, before I get into that, let me make my little spiel here for people listening to for the first time. You probably noticed that when I was talking about those other shows on the channel, maybe thinking one of these things doesn't belong here. You know, the Mud Toe Midnight Show doesn't seem to fit in with the other people who are doing the readings and the cards and the intuitive voice and all of that. I am a shaman. My modality is the written and spoken word. What the hell? Okay. I'm sorry. There's a big truck coming up behind me. I was thinking, you do see me here, don't you? Okay. So my modality is the written and spoken word, and my sort of mission, my goal in life is to get my words out there, get things that Spirit has inspired me to say, get them out there, and through whatever media I can, because my assumption is if I've been inspired to say it, there must be someone out there who needs to hear it. And it may be for a reason that I wouldn't even imagine. So if my ramblings seem random, I'm sure they often do. They seem random to me as well. I don't go into this with a plan. Spirit, I depend on Spirit to guide me and to say, hopefully to say things that strike a chord with somebody else, that resonate with someone out there, that gives them some kind of help. And I don't even know what my experience is trying to get out of a football game on a Friday night could even have to do with that, but that's what I'm talking about. So thanks for joining me. So, as I was saying last week, got out of the game pretty quickly. It's one of a typical place will have two or three exits. You know, they got parking that's near the school. You can park in the parking lot, some of the grassy areas where you park. But most places have two or three exits where you can get out. So, if you're going in different directions, you know, you pick the exit that's closest to where you're going to. And each of them lets out onto a different street, and then you get into, as you get away from the school or wherever it is the game is, then you split up into two more streets, and you split up into two more, you know, just the crowd sort of thins out over a few minutes, and then finally you're cruising along as if nothing ever happened. Well, this place I went to tonight, they had one way to get in and out of the parking lot in the football field. So everybody who was there, and it was not a small school, it was a rather large school, everybody was coming in and out of the same place. And then there was only one road. You turned left or you turned right coming out of the school, and I turned right because that was the direction I was going, and we went for over a mile before there was another split. So it was just a long line of cars, it's like a long, thin parking lot. They're sort of moving very slowly, and I thought, well, someone just didn't think this out very clearly when they chose this spot for this sort of in the middle of nowhere spot for this large urban type school. But perhaps they were doing it for reasons other than speed of getting cars out of the parking lot on football Friday nights. Who knows? Perhaps there were other considerations that went into the selection of the location for their school. So perhaps I shouldn't complain about it, but it did mean that I did not get on the road nearly as quickly as I wanted to. I mean, I sat in the parking lot for a while because I wasn't going to fight the traffic. You know, I wasn't going to sit in the line and burn up gas. That's what my life has become. My life has become all about trying not to burn up gas. And I think I started off on this topic last week, so let's just pick it up again, shall we? I'm working. Let's say 4 days a week. What it is it's 3 days 1 week and 5 days the next week, and it alternates. So average 4 days a week. I work a double shift on Tuesdays, an 8 and a 10, so that's 18 hours Tuesday going into Wednesday, and then a 10-hour shift on Wednesday and an 8-hour shift on Thursday. So like most of my hours are in those 3 days, and then every other weekend I work an 8 on Saturday and 8 on Sunday. So it averages out to 44 hours a week. It averages out to eight round trips to this place where I work. And it's about a 15-mile drive, about a half an hour drive each way. So it's a lot of driving. It's a lot more driving than I've been used to doing for a long time. And the driving part of it, first of all, is starting to get on my nerves. And second, just the amount of gas I'm burning, it keeps me awake at night, which is bad because I'm working these doubles and things where I need to get some sleep so I can turn around and work the next day. Worked on like maybe 3 or 4 hours sleep during those 3 days, and I slept well last night, but I thought I would sleep later than I did. I was up at about 10, and I got some business done, which was good. But I was very upset about the gas this morning because I got my first paycheck for one of my five paycheck part-time jobs. It's about to become a full-time job. And the paycheck was for orientation and training. And it's like the only money I have coming in for the next 2 weeks, and it's just not going to be enough, especially with the amount of gas. You know, putting $50 a week in the car easily is really putting me in a spot when I don't have my main money, the money for the work that I'm doing, all these doubles and things like that, is not coming in yet. So, I mean, the abundance is there. You know, I said an affirmation. I say affirmations every day for abundance. And the abundance is there. It's just not here yet. The abundance is coming. The abundance is out there, but you know, the abundance is still a few weeks away, and my bills are not a few weeks away, especially. So you have to make that upfront investment. I think those are the words I used last week. There's an upfront investment that you have to make in a new job. You know, you have to put in your time, and you have to put in the money that it takes to get there when there is distance involved. And this, you know, particular job where they hold your pay for 4 weeks, it's going to mount up. It's going to be at least $200 in gas before I get paid for the, you know, the main body of work I'm doing. And then when my friends who pay me to film football games send me to the next city, and I got to, you know, put gas on my car for that, it just becomes, I don't want to say aggravating, I don't want to say irritated, although I was aggravated and irritated earlier this morning when I was on Facebook, of course. And I've written down something similar to what I just ranted about in, you know, in fewer words. I was concerned that I, you know, couldn't get ahead. It's going to be very nip and tuck for the next several weeks. And then a Facebook friend wrote a reply of something along the lines as, well, you should just, you know, quit and go on welfare and sit around in your underwear all day and maybe get on drugs or something like that. And I replied to that with an obscenity. And, yeah, which is something I try not to do, at least not anymore. I'm trying to be more enlightened in that way. First of all, because you don't, and this is what happened. He was kidding. He didn't mean it, you know, as a slam. He meant it as maybe it would be better off, you know, because you're working for a job that doesn't pay subsistence wages. You know, that kind of a, you know, thing that I talk about often. He was sort of agreeing with me in that sense, and I didn't, you know, if I'd been able to see him speaking, if I'd seen his face while he was speaking and hear his tone of voice, I probably would have picked up on that. I'd like to think I would have picked up on that. But just seeing the words written down, you know, I had a quick flash of raging mud toe, and he came out, and I slapped down that Facebook post that I regretted. It's okay now. We talked through it, and he understands, and I understand. That anger. I said this. My friend Eric, the hypnotist, does not agree with me. I said that I think negative energy, anger-type energy, flows more easily than positive energy does. It seems to me that whenever, you know, a situation comes up, that that anger, frustration, energy is always there to jump in with me. You know, I was ready at the moment. Said, "Oh yeah, let's go!" You know, let's immediately get angry about this. And the compassionate energy seems to take longer to arrive at the party. He doesn't agree with me. He thinks that the energies are basically all the same. We get whatever it is that we ask for from the universe. I'm seeing that more and more. You know, I asked for abundance and I got abundance. Maybe not yet, but it's coming. I ask for rotten traffic and I get rotten traffic. You know, I anticipate that the traffic is going to be rotten, and what do you know, the traffic is rotten. Maybe I can't. I won't say can't. Maybe I don't. Maybe saying an affirmation doesn't make the traffic better the way I would want it to make it better. But it may be that, you know, the people who pull out in front of me are, you know, they're holding me up long enough to keep me out of an accident. You know, who knows? Try and change the way I think about it and diffuse my anger. And maybe things will not seem as bleak or dark as I might make them out to be. far as the job itself, I kind of talked about a little bit earlier. You know, it's a lot of hours and not a lot to do. I think I mentioned last week that I'm working with developmentally disabled adults. The word used to be mentally retarded. We don't say that anymore. It's developmentally disabled. They're very high-functioning, if you want to use that label. They can do most things for themselves. I'm usually there. It's four gentlemen who share a house. I'm generally there with one other staff member, unless I'm doing an overnight, in which case I'm there by myself. But, you know, the guys are asleep. You know, unless there's some sort of emergency there, I'm not going to be really called upon to do much. On an afternoon shift, we make their dinner, help them clean up. We have one gentleman with some physical challenges. He needs more help than the other guys do. And later in the evening, we make sure they get their medication. And later in the evening, they have a snack. And that's pretty much it. In the midnight shift, you don't even have all of that because we get their breakfast, but they usually get their own breakfast, you know, bowl of cereal or something, and morning meds, and that's about it. The only real difficulty is staying up there all night, something I used to do very easily when I was a teenager. I had very bad insomnia when I was a teenager. I think I've told some stories about that on the show before. My personal record was I went three straight nights with no appreciable sleep. You know, I may have, you know, closed my eyes for a few minutes once or twice. But, you know, three nights without really getting much sleep at all. And I didn't know how that experience was going to map onto 48-year-old mud toe. I did the first, which was the double. I did work the afternoon and then worked the midnight shift right after it. Went home, tried to sleep, could only get to sleep for about an hour and a half. You know, my body rebelled against the idea of sleeping while the daylight was out, I guess. I don't know. It just doesn't quite understand what's going on. Oh, excuse me. Can't start talking about sleep, but then I want to yawn, which is unfortunate because I have another half an hour left to drive home. But anyway, after my midnight shift is over at about 9:30 in the morning, I drive home. I get home about 10. I went to bed, was out of bed, and getting some lunch by about noon, so I didn't get all that much sleep. I did go back to bed that evening and catch about another half an hour of sleep before I went back to the house at 11:30 to do a second midnight shift. And by the end of that one, I was really dragging because, you know, operating on very little sleep. I felt many times on my drive home, I felt many times like I shouldn't be on the road. It was frightening at times to be on the road and not feel that I was 100% capable of maybe turning if something happened. So then that's the short turnaround because they have to come back, you know, come back from that midnight shift to an afternoon shift, and I only have 6 hours in between. So a half an hour to get home and a half an hour to get back, that's 5 hours. Went to bed and again only slept for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then it's just good sleep, had to get back up. And did my final afternoon shift. That one wasn't so bad because the staff member I was working with, he went out to get something, you know, to go to the store and get something. And he brought me back, you know, a big gulp. Some Coca-Cola on ice, which is just heavenly, and that kept me going. And also there was a football game on to watch, which was a lot of fun. I'm glad football is back. I enjoy football. And then that night, my relief, the staff person who was coming to them worked the midnight shift after I was on the afternoon shift. She got there about 15 minutes late. But at least she called. She did call and tell me she was running late and there was a detour. And I understand there's detours all over the city and it is hard to get around sometimes. So I went home and after that and then went to bed. And then finally I got to sleep because it was at the right time. It was the time when I'm supposed to be sleeping. And I slept for a good 10 hours and I felt pretty good all day. And now here I am up late again. But I will get home and get some sleep. But I have to be up again early tomorrow because it's another college football Saturday home Saturday game, and I live in the backyard of the stadium, so we have to move our cars. We who merely live there have to get all our cars out of the way for the college football fans coming in. Have to be up and out to my car by 10 o'clock and find a place to put it. This time, I'm going to, I think, drive it up to the parking lot ride and ride the bus back down. But see, then I have to have money for the bus. That's the thing about this next 3 or 4 weeks, there isn't going to be a lot. I mean, a bus pass is going to be a major purchase, and I need two of them next week, not counting what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't mean these, you know, I feel like I'm bitching, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to do that. I mean, let's take it as read that I am better off than most of the people in Syria, okay? Let's take it as read that I'm better off than most people in third world countries and developing countries, okay? I'm not talking about them, I'm talking about me. No disrespect meant. I'm just saying this is my travail at the moment, realizing fully that it is not nearly so bad as the travail of many other people. And it's the gasoline that's doing it to me. It's the $50, you know, a week of gasoline that's kicking the shit out of me right now. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do about that until my full paychecks start coming in. My first paycheck for a full 2 weeks of work isn't coming until October the 4th. So I have that date right, whatever the first Friday of October is. And I have to make it from now till then, and I can't. I mean, I have the food stamp card, so I'll be able to eat. That's not a problem. I do have to figure out a way that I can take food that I can buy at the grocery store and bring it with me in the car so that I'm not constantly stopping at bad food places. I got to get a cooler, which, again, costs money. Got to cost money to buy a cooler. I could probably get a cooler from my mom and dad, but then it costs money to get gas in the car to go see them. Perhaps I will take a visit to Goodwill. They might have one that I could use. But I say, make up a cooler and make up a bunch of food and just carry it in the trunk with me. So, you know, gosh, I can get something rather than, and then have the willpower to not stop at the fast food places. Oh, Lord. So that's where I'm at. What else should I tell you? I'm feeling pretty tired now. I was not feeling tired when I parked here. I'm definitely feeling tired now. Oh, I feel bad. I had to cancel my appointment with Susie, who is a good friend and one of the principal stone carriers of my Church of Nimanha chapter house here in my large city in the Midwest. And she's a hairdresser by trade, and she's been cutting my hair for a while, and I really like the job she does. The only difficulty is that she works at a rather expensive salon, and you know, I've made it a priority to put aside enough money each month so that I can go and get my hair cut there. But this month, it's just, you know, it's not an option. I have to have every spare nickel and dime I can rustle up to keep gasoline in my car. So I had to cancel the appointment I had Saturday, and as I said, I feel very bad about it. That's something I'll always look forward to, is having that. Now, she also does this sort of form of yoga / Reiki / a lot of other things called Yatsukuwats, and it's where she bends my limbs in impossible directions. And I haven't had that done for a while either, again, because I can't come up with a suitable gift. Now, at the drum circle a few weeks back, the Day of 1,000 Drummers, I don't think we had quite 1,000, but this is a big outdoor drum circle, which was a very sort of inspiring event. And I was talking to her there, and she said, you know, if I could make up some food, and because her husband, Iggy, my friend Iggy, is from Peru, and she gets, Susie, Iggy's wife, gets lots of, you know, ethnic Peruvian cooking, and she's not Peruvian, and sometimes she misses a good old American food. and I used to cook some for the sweat lodges. We would have a feast after sweat lodges, and I would bring some just something I made in the crock pot or the slow cooker. Is there a difference between a crock pot and a slow cooker? I think there is. But anyway, something, you know, meat and taters that I had made up. And I would take it to her, and she would just be so tickled. And this thing of the thousand drummers has been, you know, as I said, a number of weeks ago, and I haven't taken her up on that offer. Oh, she'd said, you know, she would, you know, in lieu of a cash gift, which is what's usually given, because shaman cannot live by sage alone, that I could bring her some food, because she didn't get a lot of American-type food. But I haven't taken her up on that either, and I feel bad about it, because that I could do. I can go to the grocery store and whip out my food stamp card and get a roast and some potatoes and make it for her. She wants something with she wants some garlic with it, and I'm a little bit anxious about that, because I don't cook with garlic often, and I know it's very possible to overdo it, so I have to do a little bit of research on that. But perhaps that's something I can look into if I can't, you know, if I can't do the hairdresser thing. I mean, getting my haircut thing, it's just recognizing that it is a lot to spend on a haircut. Especially when you don't have a lot of money coming in. And again, I don't know how people do it. I've never known how people do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm $9 an hour. You cut things back. I can't say to the bone. You know, I look at my charge card receipt and I have my charge card statement, and I see that I'm still, you know, going to the restaurants a lot. Health's the only entertainment I have now. I mean, you cut everything out, and then all you do is work and sleep till you die. I mean, what kind of life is that? I know what many people do is, you know, they team up with somebody else and you know, pool their resources, but I've never, you know, caught into the idea of bringing a stranger into my home. Most of the people I know have horror stories about sharing their place with someone and bring someone to their house they didn't know. And it was okay at first. And all of a sudden, you know, your ATM card disappears and all your checking account money is gone. I have a friend who's still getting grief over somebody he lived with years ago. Set his credit rating back. I've often said that I've sworn a blood oath in the temple of my ancestors that I will never again cohabitate with someone that I'm not sleeping with. I think, you know, obviously those dangers would still exist. You know, I had a girlfriend once who basically swiped all the cash I had. It was at a time I'm sort of in the same financial position I'm in now. And I think I had $53 and some change to my name, if that's the figure I seem to remember. She took all that money off of me, including the change, emptied out my change bowl. And that was the incident that got me into recovery. But I've just gotten my 90-second warning. Boy, that 30 minutes blew by. It seems like the more I have to complain about, the faster the show goes. I want to thank you all for listening, like you had a choice. Well, of course you had a choice. You could have just not listened to the rest of it. And again, I make that lofty statement at the beginning of the show, and then I just talk about my problem. It's a secret, silent psychiatrist out there listening to me. And I do appreciate you listening to me. And if you can get on my website, mudtoesasquatch.com, mudtoesasquatch.com, and read my blog and leave me comments. And you can comment about the radio show on the blog. I don't care. I love getting your comments. I love hearing what you think about the show. So please do that. And please join me next week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.